Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims in open session. The Honorable Robert N. Davis presiding. All about business before this court draw near and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning. Welcome. I am Chief Judge Davis. To my right is Judge Peach. To my left is Judge Bartley. And we are here today in the matter of Timothy J. Urban against Robert M. McDonald, Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Would both counsel for both parties please note your appearance for the record?
Good morning, Your Honors. Jenna Zalmer of Chisholm, Chisholm & Kilpatrick for the appellant. With me at counsel's table is Emma Peterson.
Welcome.
Good morning. I'm Mark Fitchich, appearing on behalf of the Secretary. With me at counsel's table is Richard Daly, Deputy Chief Counsel of the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Welcome. Are both parties ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And just for clarification purposes, I understand we are dealing with two issues. The first issue on 4.97 has been conceded, is that correct?
Your Honor, the first issue in the appellant's opening brief was conceded. However, there is still a remaining issue about 4.96A.
Yes, I was referring to 4.97.
Yes, Your Honor.
And I have 4.96A and 3.321.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Is that consistent with you as well?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Very good. Each party will have 30 minutes to present your respective arguments. Counsel for the appellant, do you wish to reserve any portion of your time for rebuttal?
10 minutes, please, Your Honor.
Okay. Reserve that, please, Dawn. Thank you. Counsel, you may proceed.
Good morning, Chief Justice Davis, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Mr. Urban has a singular respiratory disability consisting of two diagnosed conditions, asthma and sleep apnea. The plain language of Section 4.96A requires the Board to consider the severity of the veteran's overall disability, both his sleep apnea and his asthma symptoms, when assigning the appropriate rating. And a prior remand from this Court required the Board to do that. The Board erred when it evaluated the veteran's asthma and his sleep apnea individually and determined that a rating higher than 60% was not warranted. This analysis did not comply with the Court's prior remand order, nor did it comply with the plain language of the regulation. The Board reasons that the veteran's sleep apnea did not warrant a higher scheduler rating under Diagnostic Code 6847, and that the veteran's asthma did not warrant a higher rating under Diagnostic Code 6602. This is precisely the same error that the Board made in its prior vacated decision. Your Honors,
when you say that the Board erred in not considering the respiratory symptoms as a whole, is that kind of what your argument is? The respiratory symptoms of both asthma and sleep apnea.
Yes, Your Honor. Section 4.96A requires the Board first to determine which respiratory condition is the predominant disability. And in this case, the Board determined that asthma was the predominant disability, and that's not a dispute here. The Board assigned a 60% rating based on his asthma symptoms. That diagnostic code warrants a 60% rating based on the forced expiratory volume, and that's only for his asthma symptoms. But the second part of 4.96A requires the Board to consider the overall severity of the disability. Okay. So that's both the asthma and the sleep apnea.
Yeah, but on page 12 of the record where they're undertaking this analysis that you're pointing out, don't they say when considering his respiratory symptoms as a whole? That, admittedly, I think they do kind of get a little bit off track because it's like they're trying to cover both bases. They consider both the requirements of 6602 and 6847. But then their conclusion is, therefore, because the veteran does not meet the higher 100% criteria under either 6602 or 6847, when considering his respiratory symptoms as a whole, the board finds that the severity of his overall disability does not warrant an elevation above the 60%. So they use the word as symptoms as a whole and also overall disability. Doesn't that address the error that you see?
Your Honor, the board did use that language, but the analysis is something different. The board only looked at the veteran's asthma under Diagnostic Code 6602 and the veteran's sleep apnea under Diagnostic Code 6847. There was no consideration of the two conditions together, which is what 4.96A requires. The board needed to look at the overall severity of how those two conditions interact together. That's what 4.96A requires. And even though the board said that it considered the overall disability, its analysis indicates something different.
What does its analysis indicate?
The board only considered the veteran's asthma individually and his sleep apnea individually.
And what should the board, how would the analysis have been different if it were consistent with your position?
Yes, Your Honor. So the first step, as I said, was to determine the predominant disability. The second step is in the language of 4.96A, and it says that a next higher evaluation, the board was to determine whether the next higher evaluation was warranted, where the severity of the overall disability warrants such an evaluation. So the board should have looked at the overall disability, how the two respiratory disabilities interact.
Well, are you saying the board should have used language specifically that said, therefore, the overall disability, of which I think Judge Bartley just said the board did indicate that on page 12.
It's not just the language that the board uses, it's the actual analysis. So here the board didn't consider the actual symptoms of the veteran's asthma and sleep apnea together. They need to look at whether or not that overall severity of the disability warrants the next higher evaluation.
Under
which diagnostic code?
Under the predominant disabilities diagnostic code,
under
so 6602. Yes, Your Honor. And so that actually brings me to my next point, is that even though under Diagnostic Code 6602, the board needed to look at the next higher evaluation, which in this case is a 100% rating, it doesn't make sense for the board to require sleep apnea, which is a different disability and it has different symptoms and it's treated differently, to meet that disability criteria under 6602.
So when you read this third sentence of 4.96A, the third sentence being a single rating will be assigned under the diagnostic code which reflects the predominant disability with elevation to the next higher evaluation where the severity of the overall disability warrants such evaluation. When you read that, are you saying that, okay, so they used 6602 asthma as the predominant disability, and there are certain, the FEV, you know, test results and things like that listed
yes.
there. Are you saying that the board should have gone outside of the DC criteria under 6602 and considered the veteran's daytime drowsiness and whatever else he might have due to the sleep apnea? And why would they do that when this third sentence seems to limit the rater to the criteria that are under the asthma DC?
Your Honor, it's not so much the board needed to go outside the criteria, because the board did need to assign a rating under Diagnostic Code 6602.
And were they limited to what was listed in the 100, in considering this overall disability, were they limited to the criteria that are listed in the 100% level for
no, Your Honor.
Asthma?
No, Your Honor. The board needed to look at the severity of the overall disability, and that includes the asthma and the sleep apnea symptoms, and determine whether or not the overall disability warranted a 100% rating, whether or not it morally nearly approximated a 100% rating. Under 4.21, not every disability is going to meet every single criteria under a diagnostic code. 4.96A is similar in that sense to an extra scheduler rating. However, it's different because this is built into the scheduler rating. The board needs to look at the severity of the overall disability and determine whether or not that overall disability warrants a 100% rating in this case.
Okay. Ms. Elmer, I'm having a hard time following your argument, primarily because you keep talking about the overall disability. The board's language talks about the overall disability, yet you fault the analysis.
Right.
And the 4.96A makes the point that the single rating will be assigned under the diagnostic code, which reflects the predominant disability, which is asthma. Maybe you could explain this a little bit different way.
Yes, Your Honor. So 4.96A, that third sentence, sets out a framework. As I mentioned, the first step is to determine the predominant disability.
That's been decided.
The next
step,
yes, Your Honor. The next step is for the board to look at the veteran's non-predominant disability and determine if there are any non-overlapping manifestations. The reason that this regulation exists is to prevent pyramiding. The veteran has two respiratory conditions. If both of those respiratory conditions are measured by FEV testing and they result in the same disability, the same symptoms, then there's no reason to have separate ratings. In this case, the veterans...
But what you just added in there is not in the regulation. You're basically saying if the criteria for sleep apnea and asthma are the same and established by... let's use your shorthand, FEV ratings, then everything's hunky-dory, right? But if, as in this case, the sleep apnea criteria are different and don't reference FEV and seem to be addressing other symptoms, then what should happen?
Right. So even if the veteran did have two respiratory conditions that were both measured by FEV, 4.96A would still apply. The board would still need to conduct this analysis, but it may not reach that next higher evaluation. In this case, the analysis that the board needed to undertake was to determine whether or not the veteran's sleep apnea had different manifestations of his asthma, and with whether or not those manifestations combined with his asthma manifestations warranted the next higher evaluation. And in this case, the next higher evaluation is a 100% rating. But that's not always going to be the case. It's whatever the next higher level, the next higher evaluation under the predominant disability code would be.
Let me just go back to the asthma disability rating. It was at 60%.
Yes, Your Honor.
And what was the basis for the 60%? Can you refresh the recollection here?
Yes, Your Honor. The basis for the 60% was the veteran's FEV predicted percentage. That's forced expiratory volume. So it's a mechanical objective test.
Oh, I thought it was the intermittent at least three times per year courses of at least a monthly or visits to the physician?
That may be correct, Your Honor. I can double check.
Okay. Because if it was the FEV, then I'm still not sure how the criteria for sleep apnea would fit into an FEV when the FEV readings, apparently, at least from what I could see from the record, didn't exceed... the 60% that required for 60%. So I'm not sure what the FEV, the forced volume, has to do with sleep apnea.
It doesn't, Your Honor, and that's why when the board conducts this analysis, although it's assigning a rating under 6602, it's not strictly limited to the language in that diagnostic code. It doesn't make sense to require a veteran's sleep apnea to meet the higher rating for asthma. They're two different respiratory disabilities that are measured differently. And so in this case, you're right, Your Honor, the FEV is one instance that would warrant a 60 or 100% rating, but there's also respiratory failure, daily use of systemic and oral parenteral high-dose corticosteroids. And in this case, the board found that the veteran's asthma alone did not meet that criteria for the 100% rating. But that doesn't mean that the veteran's asthma and his sleep apnea together, when considered the overall severity, more nearly approximated that 100% rating. And that's what the board did not do here. The board should have looked at the manifestations of the asthma and the manifestations of the sleep apnea, determined what are the non-overlapping symptoms, and determine whether or not that overall severity warrants the next higher evaluation.
How do you know the board did not do that? Because they did not talk about the non-overlapping symptoms?
Yes, Your Honor. The board only compared the veteran's sleep apnea to the diagnostic code for sleep apnea and the veteran's asthma to the diagnostic code for asthma.
Okay, but let's say that you are correct, that the board did not follow the analysis that is required by the manual, which appears to be the analysis that you are bringing up here by talking about overlapping and non-overlapping symptoms?
It's similar, Your Honor. So there's a difference. Your Honor, the Secretary's interpretation and the manual require the veteran's sleep apnea to meet the next higher evaluation under Diagnostic Code 6602. What the plain language of the regulation, there's nothing in the plain language of the regulation that requires the veteran's sleep apnea to strictly meet that criteria. It's more of an overall severity analysis, whether or not the veteran's manifestations of both respiratory conditions warrant the next higher evaluation. So in the manual, it requires the veteran's the sleep apnea to meet the rating criteria under 6602. And that just doesn't make sense.
So you agree in part with the VA's manual directives on
this,
which, as you mentioned, clearly do say the non-overlapping symptoms must support a higher eval when applied to the DC criteria being utilized for the predominant disability.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. But why should we go? Why doesn't our apply here? Why should we go with your interpretation of what should happen here rather than the Secretary's interpretation?
Yes, Your Honor. The Secretary's interpretation is entitled to no deference because, it's not consistent with the language of the regulation. As I mentioned, the language of the regulation does not require the veteran to meet the diagnostic code's criteria in full or strictly. And second, as I mentioned...
Let me just stop you there. Clearly it doesn't completely track the language, but that doesn't mean that it's in the language of the reg. The manual doesn't really track. It has more steps.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the reg only has two steps. The manual has five. But when you say it's inconsistent, the Secretary's interpretation, which I'm assuming is what the manual says. It seems to be what the Secretary's interpretation is. When you say it's inconsistent, how is it inconsistent? Doesn't he just have a more elaborate, more involved way of going about it?
No, Your Honor. Section 4.96A must be read in the context of all of the Secretary's regulations, and that includes 4.21 and 4.7. And so to require the veteran's sleep apnea to meet the diagnostic code for the rating criteria under a different diagnostic code is inconsistent with all of those regulations because 4.21 says that a veteran's disability is not always going to meet all of those rating criteria. And in this case, especially when it's the rating criteria for a separate diagnosis, there's no way to implement the Secretary's interpretation. As I mentioned, sleep apnea is rated differently. It's measured differently. It's not treated the same way as asthma. And so to require sleep apnea to meet the diagnostic code for the 100% rating under asthma, simply it's inconsistent and it doesn't make sense.
Counsel, is your position that 4.96 is ambiguous or is it not ambiguous?
It's our position that it's plain, Your Honor.
It's ambiguous. And the plain meaning of that regulation requires what exactly?
For the board to consider the overall disability, the severity of the overall disability, and to warrant a higher rate, and determine whether or not that warrants a next higher evaluation.
You seem to agree with the Secretary as to the purpose of 4.96, that is to avoid pyramiding for these coexisting respiratory disorders that apparently, although I don't know, maybe you can point out where this is, where VA says this, where apparently because the symptoms tend to overlap for these particular diagnostic codes. You agree with that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so how is the, what you seem to be suggesting, how would that be any different from VA just, the raters just being advised to rate sleep apnea under its own diagnostic code and asthma under its own diagnostic code? I mean, what, I don't, it seems like your way of interpreting 4.96 might just read it out of existence. Why don't they just, if the symptoms are that different, why don't they just evaluate them separately and combine them like they usually do? I mean,
Your Honor, I think that's an excellent question. I think that might be a question for the Secretary. It just says that rating coexisting respiratory conditions will not be combined with each other. And so, you know.
But you've admitted that you agree that the purpose of that is to avoid compensating a veteran twice for the same symptoms.
Yes, Your Honor. And in this case where the veteran's two respiratory conditions do have different symptoms, that the purpose doesn't seem to make sense. It would make sense where the veteran had asthma and emphysema, which is 6603, and those are both measured by FEV testing. But we're not here to challenge the rating code criteria. We're just here to argue the plain language of the regulation, Your Honor.
Yeah, but couldn't the court be in danger of violating the statute that says that we're not to mess with the rating schedule? Because you said you didn't understand. It doesn't seem to make sense. 4.9, your exact words were, or almost your exact words were, 4.96 doesn't seem to make sense as applied here because the symptoms of sleep apnea are so different from the symptoms of asthma.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm not, but whenever you read the 4.96, it clearly prevents VA raters from rating those two separately and combining them.
Yes.
And so if the purpose of the reg is to avoid, you know, compensating twice, that must be the reason why they've put a line, you know, down between asthma and sleep apnea and said, no, you can't rate them separately. You have to rate them together.
Counsel, your time has expired. Could you add 5 minutes, please? And please answer Judge Bartlett's
question. Yes, Your Honor. I was about to ask if I could. So, Your Honor, I think the situation that you're proposing is the exact reason why 4.96A exists. So in the situation, while separate ratings may not be appropriate, but in a situation where a veteran has two respiratory conditions that do have non-overlapping manifestations, that's where the board needs to consider whether or not the next higher evaluation is warranted for the severity of that overall disability. That's the language of the regulation. Your Honor, the veteran, before he was represented by counsel, did argue for separate ratings because he felt like he had two very different respiratory conditions. But because of the way that the Secretary drafted the regulation, this is his only, you know, position, is that he can have the board look at the severity of the overall disability and determine whether or not those different manifestations, when considered together, warrant the next higher evaluation.
So how would you, if you were on the board, how would you get to 100% using your approach?
Yes, Your Honor.
Can you work me through that, kind of connect the dots for
me? Yes, Your Honor. The veteran's predominant disability is asthma. His asthma alone warrants a 60% rating. The next step is to consider the veteran's symptoms of his sleep apnea. Now, he currently has a CPAP that was prescribed in 2007, the claim goes back to 2007. So there is evidence in the record that prior to the CPAP, his disability resulted in daytime drowsiness, in morning headaches, in interference with his ability to work before he retired. Now, the board should have considered all of those symptoms and all of those manifestations and determined whether or not these daytime symptoms of his sleep apnea and his nighttime symptoms of his sleep apnea, the waking up, the not being able to breathe in the night, combined with the symptoms of his asthma, which include not being able to exercise more than half a mile, not being able to communicate at times when he has a particularly severe asthma attack, whether or not all of those conditions together, the overall severity, warranted a 100% rating. And that's what the board didn't do here.
Under the asthma
yes,
diagnosis.
Your Honor.
So which one of that, because the way 660 is written, it's one, or it's, you don't need all of them, you just need one.
Yes, Your Honor,
it's divided by the or. Which one would it be? 40 FEV1 less than 40% predicted? Or FEV1 FVC less than 40%, or more than one attack per week with episodes of respiratory failure, or requires daily use of systemic high-dose corticosteroids, or immune suppressive medication. So which one would it be to get to 100?
Your Honor, the board may have found that the veteran's overall severity was more nearly approximated the level of impairment that is contemplated under an FEV of less than 40% predictive. It may have found that the veteran's overall disability more nearly approximated that of an attack once per more than once per week with respiratory failure, but the board didn't get to that point.
Wasn't the fact that the FEVs were much higher? I mean, he actually had the test for FEV, and it came down to rather high numbers.
Yes, Your Honor, for his asthma, but not. There's no way to measure the effects of the sleep apnea on the asthma as well in those FEV testings. So the board could have looked at, and this might be a medical question, what level of impairment is contemplated by an FEV of less than 40% predicted? How does that actually manifest in his daily life? If it's similar, the board could have found that it was similar to the manifestations that he experienced due to asthma and sleep apnea together.
Well, counsel, I hear your argument. And I continue to refer back to the board's decision. And I see references in the board's decision on page 6, on page, well, actually page 7 of the record, page 8, 9, page 10 of the record gets into sleep apnea assessments and evaluation, and the board discusses the argument regarding separate ratings, which the veteran made before the board as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still having a hard time following your argument, but time is expiring. Are there any other questions?
Just explain to me your argument about extra scheduler evaluations here and what should have occurred.
Yes, Your Honor. The board's extra scheduler analysis is on page 13 of the record. It consists of some boilerplate and then two sentences where the board determined that the scheduler criteria provide for ratings in excess of the assigned for greater degrees of respiratory disability, but that greater disability was not shown. The board did not consider favorable evidence in the record about the veteran's use of Symbicort, and the veteran's, which would indicate the veteran's severity of his asthma. The board only listed some law and then rendered a conclusion. It did not consider, it did not go into the analysis that's required of it in order to determine whether or not the veteran's symptoms and his severity were adequately contemplated by his current rating.
So, should the board here have addressed the, well, let me get one thing straight. The daytime drowsiness, the morning headaches, and the other symptoms that you mentioned a moment ago that are sleep apnea symptoms, mm-hmm. are you saying that those resolved when he was put on the CPAP machine?
They did, Your Honor.
Oh, okay. So we're only talking here about a part of 2007, perhaps?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And are you saying that the board should have considered those symptoms here under extra scheduler, or those symptoms belong in the scheduler analysis under 4.96?
The symptoms belong in a scheduler analysis under 4.96A. Here, the board should have considered whether or not the veteran's asthma alone warranted a higher rating for under an extra scheduler evaluation. The veteran's asthma is so severe that he requires the special corticosteroid, which, Your Honor, I don't have any time left. I can address it on my rebuttal. If you'd prefer to address it now, I can do that.
Go ahead. We have another minute, please.
Okay. So, Your Honor, the board found that the veteran's Symbicort did not warrant a higher rating under Diagnostic Code 6602, a 100% rating, because it found that the Symbicort did not meet the criteria for a systemic corticosteroid. And under that diagnostic code, systemic corticosteroids are oral or parenteral. They're not inhaled. But the board didn't consider whether or not the veteran's private physician's letter indicated that the veteran's Symbicort may have made it outside of the rating criteria, may have created an exceptional disability picture. The veteran's doctor opined that Symbicort is different than the typical inhaled therapies that are considered under the 30% rating for asthma under Diagnostic Code 6602, and he actually indicated that it's similar to the therapies that are considered under the 100% rating. Even though the board found that that did not meet the strict criteria under 6602, it should have considered whether or not that indicated a higher level of severity that would have warranted an extra scheduler evaluation.
Okay. Counsel, you're out of time.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Vicic, you have an additional 8 minutes should you need it.
Thank you, Your Honor. As a matter of policy, the Secretary has decided that certain coexisting respiratory conditions are to be assigned a single rating under the Secretary's rating schedule. The third sentence of Section 4.96A explains how, using the criteria found in Section 4.97, that single disability rating is to be assigned. The Secretary asked this Court to affirm the Board's denial of a higher rating under the Secretary's rating schedule. And he wants to emphasize two key points in support of his position. The first is that the instructions in Section 4.96A, and more specifically the third sentence in Section 4.96A, do not bypass or circumvent the specific rating criteria found in the diagnostic codes that follow in Section 4.97. Second, and relatedly, the appellant does not explain how he satisfies the criteria for a 100% rating under a particular diagnostic code. As the discussion earlier focused on, there are three ways under Diagnostic Code 6602 to get a 100% rating, but he fails to explain how he reaches that rating regardless of how many symptoms or effects are considered. A 100% rating can be assigned, for example, based on pulmonary function test results, based on the frequency and severity of asthma attacks, or based on the use of certain medication and the frequency of that use. He doesn't explain how his symptoms and his manifestations get him to a 100% rating under any of those criteria. And that is what Section 4.96A requires, is that the certain criteria be satisfied. And the board's analysis took into account the appropriate criteria and explained why those criteria were not satisfied.
Counsel, you heard the exchange between the appellant's counsel and the bench earlier regarding the failure of the board to factor in a number of other criteria in arriving at its decision, in particular the use of the language in the board's opinion, I think on page 10, overall disability picture. Can you elaborate for the court how the board's analysis met the regulatory requirements?
Yes, it's because again, there are three ways to satisfy that criteria under for example, diagnostic 6602, which the appellant and the secretary agree is the predominant disability. And the board went through those criteria and explained that the veteran did not satisfy any one of those three. And that's what the analysis requires. There's no, as I said, my first point.
So your point is the analysis is there, contrary to the appellant's counsel's position.
That's correct. The board provided what this court needs here to review the factual findings and the language of the regulation. There's no reasons or bases error. The board explained, here's the criteria. You do not satisfy these criteria. And the appellant hasn't pointed to evidence that shows that he satisfies those pulmonary function test results, needs the medication. Well, he withdrew that particular issue, or that his asthma attacks are such a frequency and severity to result in respiratory failure. Okay. So we disagree with appellant on that point. Reply to some of the arguments raised in the reply brief, he points to a number of symptoms that he demonstrates, but those are the types of symptoms contemplated by the rating schedule. For example, he says he has difficulty communicating, that's difficulty breathing to the point that he says he cannot speak, and that's exactly what the rating criteria in 6602 address. He said he needs
if I can interrupt you. So one of the things that appellant says in the reply brief is that it's basically, and I think there's some truth to this, it's kind of illogical to require that the veteran's sleep apnea symptoms match the criteria for asthma. Like, it doesn't seem like under the third sentence of 4.96A, unless you had all of the respiratory criteria under each of the different named disabilities were the same, it doesn't seem like you would ever get anything out of that third sentence that requires you to go up to the next higher eval when considering the overall disability if you're going to use that same diagnostic code of the predominant disability, because there's always going to be different criteria. So how are you ever going to get bumped up? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, unless it's like the cardiovascular system, which, you know, the cardiovascular system, like almost every diagnostic code there uses the same criteria. So, of course, you know, they're interchangeable. I mean, you know, so you could be bumped up whenever considering additional symptoms of the non-predominant disability. But otherwise, it doesn't seem like it's ever going to work for the veteran.
Okay. The Secretary has several points to make in response to that. The first is that not all respiratory conditions are covered by this. It's a certain subset. It's not nose and throat. It's more, it's the lungs,
and
the trachea,
cancer.
Bronchi.
Right.
Exactly. It's certain respiratory conditions. And the Secretary has determined as an unreviewable policy matter that the impairment of function relating to these conditions listed in the first sentence of 4.96A is going to be so similar that a single rating will be assigned. And the third sentence explains how that rating is to be assigned. So there are different symptoms, if you will, between sleep apnea and bronchitis or asthma, but the Secretary has decided that the impairment of function is so similar that one rating under either criteria will be used. And so just another point is that this regulation, 4.96A, it goes back much longer, much earlier than when the rating criteria for respiratory conditions were amended in 1996. So under the older criteria, there was a lot more instances where this might result in an elevation, if you will, because under the older criteria, different conditions were, one might be based on mild, based on coughing and dyspnea on exertion. Another one might have coughing in the morning and night, and sometimes dyspnea. So you can have two separate conditions. One of them rated alone might be mild. The other one rated alone might be mild. But when you combine all the symptoms together, the criteria for one or the other might be satisfied to be moderate in degree. When the Secretary amended these rating criteria in 1996, they're based a lot more on objective, measurable test results, and that was an attempt to be more consistent nationwide with how the ratings are assigned. So that this elevation is the current adjudication manual recognizes, it remains an option, but it's unlikely that this would result in a higher rating based on how these are currently written. It's there, it exists, and if the situation arises where all the symptoms relating to two disabilities result in a higher rating under the criteria for either, a veteran could benefit from this, but that's not this case here. The symptoms from the sleep apnea do not support a higher rating under the asthma criteria. We just wanted to point out that under Section 19.5, the board is bound by this regulation, and the board had to follow it.
And are you – now, we were talking earlier with Appellant's Counsel about the non-use of the five steps in the manual by the board. That is, the board didn't use the manual. I mean, the board did not – it didn't mention non-overlapping symptoms. It didn't undertake that five-step analysis that the manual requires. What's your response?
Well, the manual is an instruction for the regional offices of the Veterans Benefits Administration as to how to create consistency. And the board is bound by regulations, but not the particular manual. The manual demonstrates how we interpret this regulation, and our position is that it is clear. It doesn't need, we don't need to resort to manuals. But the manual, it supports the Secretary's position as to how this regulation is applied in practice and how the Secretary has interpreted the language. But as far as the board needing to go through an analysis to step-by-step analysis to provide an adequate statement of reasons or bases, we would argue that the board doesn't need to do that. What the board needed to do was to identify the particular rating criteria at issue, which it here was 6602, and explain, does the evidence satisfy a higher rating under those criteria? And the board found that the evidence did not support that, and that's an adequate statement of reasons or bases.
Counsel, was to your knowledge, as I understand this latest version of the M21, these provisions were added in 2016, July, is that correct?
As far as I know, I'm not aware of it being added before that. That's correct.
Okay. So it's likely that at the time that the board had the hearing on this and wrote the decision, these provisions didn't apply.
The manual, I don't know that particular version of the manual was in effect at that time. I do know, Your Honor, that the Compensation and Pension Service fielded a question in 2014 regarding 4.96A, and this was not in our brief, Your Honor. But the Compensation Service did send out an all-points bulletin, if you will, to the regional offices that said this is how this is applied, and it's consistent with how it's in the manual. On the extra scheduler rating issue, the Secretary just has several points, brief points. First, the rating schedule it's not exhaustive. It will never identify every particular sign and symptom. The question is whether the rating criteria reasonably describe the disability level and symptomatology. And here, nothing that the appellant points to identifies anything that would indicate an exceptional or unusual disability picture. He points to inability to communicate from difficulty breathing, having difficulty walking and cutting grass. Those are sort of the usual and expected results of asthma. He points to his daytime drowsiness. That is the same thing as hypersomnolence, which is included in the rating criteria for sleep apnea. And because of Section 4.96A, the Secretary has acknowledged that these two coexisting respiratory conditions can exist, and they are to be rated separately. So the existence of a sleep apnea symptom, such as daytime drowsiness, is not indicative of an exceptional or unusual disability picture, because under Section 4.96A, the Secretary has recognized that that type of disability picture can exist, and has decided and has explained how the rating schedule will be used in that situation. And the rating schedule is to be used when it does not contemplate the particular disability picture.
Okay, but can I just stop you there? So I'm looking on the R at 13 in the board decision, this short paragraph about extra scheduler, and the board says here the scheduler criteria under codes 6602 and 6847 provide for ratings in excess of that assigned for greater degrees, but such greater degree of disability is not shown. The diagnostic criteria encompass all symptoms and related functional impairment of the disability shown during the applicable time frame, and therefore are not inadequate. Okay, this is kind of confusing to me because 4.96A requires that the board or the VA only use 6602 to evaluate both conditions here. And so that's the only one we're using, right?
Correct.
Okay. So why, when they're doing the extra scheduler consideration here, why do they reference both of those codes, including the sleep apnea one, and say that the diagnostic criteria encompass all symptoms and related functional impairment of the disability shown? I mean, you just told me on the page before, well, at least you can read the board decision this way. You just said that 4.96 requires that we only use 6602 criteria. So how come here, whenever they're making an analysis of whether an extra scheduler referral is warranted, why would they come back and add in 6847 when that's not what he's being rated under?
It's because of the first sentence of 4.96A. where the secretary has decided that these, however many of these multiple coexisting respiratory conditions exist, we're going to, contemplate that these situation may occur, and here's how that is to be rated under the rating schedule. So it wouldn't be having symptom if in this case, for example, the sleep apnea is present and asthma are present, having two symptoms attributable to each of those is not an exceptional disability picture. It's one that is expressly contemplated by the rating schedule. So that's what the board would need to look at, is any of the diagnostic codes that are applicable by way of 4.96A, the board would look at it, meaning both the predominant and non-predominant disability, or more. There could be three, there could be four. In this case, there happens to be two. So it wouldn't.
Right, but to say on the one hand that we're going to rate both of these conditions under asthma, and we're only looking at the asthma diagnostic code, and then to say that he has two under the extra scheduler, we say he has two conditions, and we're looking at both of the diagnostic criteria, and we find that indeed all of the symptoms that he has are encompassed under both of these codes. Well, of course they are, but you just said on the page before that he could only be rated under the one.
Because if the criteria for the non-predominant disability the code were considered, then that would render the rating schedule inadequate generally, because the secretary has made the policy decision that the impairment of function will be so similar when these two respiratory conditions are present, that one scheduler rating will be applied. So it would, if any time there was an additional symptom, then that would render a large part of 4.96A superfluous.
Okay. So when an extra scheduler referral is being considered, when there are coexisting respiratory conditions under 496A, then even though 496A prevents consideration of the diagnostic criteria for, let's say, sleep apnea, we're going to ignore that when we're doing the extra scheduler and consider both of the codes?
Well, the...
I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a little odd.
Well, the purpose of the rating schedule is to compensate for average impairment and earning capacity rather than individual symptoms. And by having this thought out, first sentence of 4.96A, the Secretary has acknowledged that these respiratory conditions may coexist and they are to be rated under the rating schedule this way. That is, the Secretary has decided here's how earning capacity will be impaired on average, and this is how the rating will be applied. So if there's any time there's an additional, the predominant condition has a symptom not listed in the non-predominant condition has an additional symptom, then that's not an exceptional or unusual disability picture. It's one that the Secretary has contemplated and explained how the rating schedule will apply in that situation.
So. Well, counsel, that's an interesting response. And let me follow up with your understanding of the policy reasons behind 4.96A. I'm assuming that there might be some certainly overlapping symptomatology associated with these respiratory conditions. For example,
yes.
If you have asthma, your sleep might be interrupted from time to time in the evening, perhaps?
Well, yeah, and again, the purpose is to compensate for the functional impairment, the average impairment in earning capacity. So whether it's needing a CPAP machine or needing an inhaler, we're talking about effects of the respiratory system that affect breathing. That's essentially what these all do. And that's why things like the nose and throat, they're separate. The Secretary has decided we'll have these separate, but for all these ones, these lower respiratory conditions, we're going to have a special rule just because they're so similar. And these are tough policy decisions to make, but the Secretary has to try to make them fair without overcompensating anybody. But, that's the policy decision he has made. He's decided sleep apnea is close enough to some of these other ones that's how they would be rated. And, you know, and under Section 7252B, it's not at issue here. It's not whether the Secretary was arbitrary in doing this, and, of course, the Secretary does not concede that it is, but even if this was an arbitrary distinction, it's not at issue here. At issue here is the language of Section 4.96A and how those criteria in 4.97 are to be applied and whether the Board provided the explanation that this Court needs to review the Board's factual findings and apply that particular regulation, which, again, the Board was bound to follow this regulation.
Right. And while, according to 4.96A, the Board will, or the rating official will look at all of the similar respiratory condition ratings, they may not be combined according to the language of 4.96A. All right, they may be considered, but may not be combined with each other. And then you get to the language in the third sentence that says under the diagnostic code, which reflects the predominant disability, with the elevation to the next higher level. So that doesn't mean that the other similar rating codes aren't considered, correct?
I just want to make sure I understand your question. Only one, the criteria for only one will be applied.
Predominant.
Yes, whichever is predominant, whichever results in the higher
rating.
Does
that mean that no other criteria are applied?
Correct. Only the criteria for whichever is predominant. And then the other symptoms, they can be considered too.
Considered, right.
And they can result in a higher rating if they happen to support the higher rating. Now, it's the way these are written, it's unlikely that would ever happen, especially as they were amended in 1997. But that doesn't change the plain language of how it is currently written. And, again, the Board was bound to follow it as it was written.
So going back to Judge Bartley's question regarding the extra scheduler discussion on page 13 of the record, does the reference 46847 here indicate something other than the fact that certain symptoms may have been considered? Or should 6847 not have been referenced at all?
No, the Secretary agrees that it was proper to reference both. And that's because the question under Thune Element 1 is whether the rating criteria reasonably describe the overall symptoms and severity of the disability.
Right.
And what the Secretary has done here is say, look, you can have bronchitis, bronchiectasis, asthma, sleep apnea. You get one rating, whichever is the highest. We'll consider all the symptoms, but ultimately the rating will come under 1.
Right.
And so that means the Secretary has acknowledged that there may be times when these are all present. And, for example, sleep apnea might require use of a CPAP machine, asthma may require inhaler a certain time, bronchitis may require this.
Right.
So when we're looking at, can we use the rating schedule, or do we need to send it to somebody to consider this special, rare, exceptional, or unusual circumstance? Is this a case where we simply cannot use the rating schedule because it just didn't contemplate this particular situation? Our argument is that no, under Thune and Yancey, this is the Secretary is contemplated this precise situation exactly, and it's said this is how this is how the rating schedule is going to apply in these situations. So, and that's we haven't seen anything in the record that would indicate that there's anything exceptional or unusual about this particular disability case of asthma with coexisting sleep apnea, and that's why it's the Secretary's position that this is not a candidate for referral for extra scheduler rating.
Okay.
I'd like to go back to, the beginning of your argument, and you indicated that the appellant has failed to justify the higher rating when there's the implementation of the consideration of the severity of the overall disability. And when I asked the appellant, to connect the dots for me, they indicated symptoms such as headaches and being sleepy during the day, and then concluded by saying that those symptoms should have been considered you have to look at how they approximate, maybe more approximate the symptoms of the 100%. Could you speak to that?
Sure. As for the headaches, I haven't found any evidence that the veteran had these headaches after 2003, which was 4 years before he filed this claim. The board is tasked here with determining the severity, the current severity, which means when he filed the claim in 2007 until the present. So the board wouldn't, and the appellant didn't raise this before the board, didn't ask the board to look at four-year-old evidence to determine his current severity. So our position is that the board would have had no reason, based on this record, to consider headaches in its analysis. As for some of the other points, the rating criteria will never describe every single sign and symptom. But for 6602, for asthma, the Secretary identified three different ways to get there, if you will, and based on, say, objective test results and use of medication. So nothing that he has identified is even close to getting into that. They don't suggest that the pulmonary function tests are at all close to that. So our position is that what he's describing are just the symptoms that are included in that are contemplated by the lower criteria, difficulty breathing and so on. He mentioned 4.21 in his argument. That regulation states that even though not all criteria need to be satisfied, the impairment of function will, however, be expected in all instances. So that's what the board needs to look at, the overall impairment of function and the criteria, because they're so specific, they describe what that impairment of function would look like, and nothing that he has identified is close to that.
But if they had existed after the 2006 or 2007 date that you mentioned, should the board have considered them?
Not for sleeping, being sleepy when at work. That's contemplated by 6847, which would get him a 30% rating, but the secretary has decided that that's you can't have both, so that doesn't help him get a higher rating under either the diagnostic codes. The inability to exercise, mow the grass, those are just the natural and expected effects of having asthma, which he uses medication for, and his pulmonary function test results measure the severity of that. So,
but for the purposes of looking at his overall disability, that might warrant a higher rating. Would all that have been considered, assuming all those symptoms were there?
No, because the overall disability just means all the symptoms, but it's still in the third sentence of 4.96A. There's several phrases here under the diagnostic code, and then at the end of that sentence, warrants such a value, such elevation. The rating criteria, 4.96A does not bypass the specific criteria or provide any way for the board to assign a rating without regard to those criteria. So it wouldn't matter if we just take out the sleep apnea and just forget about the coexisting respiratory conditions. Would he identifies get him to a higher rating under 6602? And the answer would be no, or at least the board's analysis addressed what the board needed to address with respect to that.
Counsel, would you say this? Your time's about to expire. I'll ask the clerk to add the 8 minutes. Hopefully, it won't take that long.
Let's hope.
Mason, is this case closer to Mason or closer to Hughes?
Hughes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hudgens. Hudgens is one that I'm particularly familiar with because I wrote it and was overturned by the Federal Circuit. But they use it in an interesting way. So,
was Hudgens cited in any of the briefs, Chief Judge Davis?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay.
Just to help you out a little bit, it involved the knee replacement provision, partial knee replacement provision, and there was some activity on the part of the Secretary, maybe even during the appeal to the Federal Circuit, where the case where the regulations were clarified by the department. And I thought that given the close proximity of the revision to M21 here, being in July of 2016, that I wondered what your thoughts were on whether or not this was a case whose facts closer aligned with the Mason decision or the Hudgens decision. And Mason did not have the similar recent regulatory amendment, and also in Hudgens, there were indications in board decisions that there were some conflicting decisions that showed perhaps not a consistency in the Secretary's interpretation of the regulations. So.
Let me see, Chief Judge Davis, if I can answer your question this way. In one of the cases we cited in our briefs, it's a Supreme Court decision, Federal Express versus Holowicki. The Supreme Court acknowledged that, even if the agency took a different position in that particular case, that does not necessarily mean its interpretation is not entitled to deference. And in the Mason case that you just mentioned, the Federal Circuit recognize that it doesn't matter if the interpretation changed over time or comes in the form of a legal brief. And what matters is whether the agency's view presented during the litigation represents the fair and considered judgment on the matter in question.
Right.
And based on our analysis of the plain language of the regulation and based on the appearance of that analysis or an interpretation is consistent with our position in our brief, based on the presence of that in the adjudication manual, we are asking the court for deference. That's a, you know, that manual is an instruction that went out to all of the regional offices. It's not that somebody at one regional office said, I think this is, we're going to do this way from now on. This is something that came from central office, and it went out and said, this is how it's going to occur. So we wouldn't concede that if there were an instance if the board had applied this regulation in another case a different way, we would argue that that is not the agency's considered views. It's the view of one particular veterans law judge.
Are you aware of any board decisions applying this provision in a different manner than the
I did not look at that.
Okay.
Your Honor, no.
Let me ask you about two Supreme Court cases, Auer and Gardner. And do you recognize any tension between those two decisions and Gardner requiring a deference to the veterans? And in our, obviously, deference to the interpretation of the agency. I should say in Gardner, a interpretation that may be most favorable to the veteran. Any tension there?
We don't see tension in there, Your Honor, because, again, the Secretary reads this language as being clear and unambiguous. So we don't need to get to this, well, what does it mean? Ultimately, it's a policy decision that the Secretary has made as to how these two conditions are to be rated. And so, and that doesn't get us to the issue here.
The appellant argued that the regulation was clear as well, but just a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, the appellant has also agreed, or he appeared to concede, that he needed to satisfy the criteria under a particular diagnostic code, but he doesn't explain how he gets there. As far as any tension between Auer and Gardner, or even if there is ambiguity here, we still ask the court to defer to the agency's interpretation based on the reasons I provided earlier, which is that we have this adjudication manual, which expresses it, which demonstrates how this works in practice, how we've instructed the regional offices to apply it, and we argue that
ambiguity?
There's no ambiguity in how this is supposed to be applied, Your Honor. So,
okay.
And that the Secretary has no other points. Did Judge Bartley have a question? Judge Peachum? Thank you, Your Honor.
Waiting for the timer. Your Honor, the Secretary concedes that a higher evaluation under 4.96A is unlikely. He conceded that in his brief as well as today. And in preparing for oral argument, counsel for the appellant looked at all of the diagnostic codes for respiratory conditions, and we could not find a single instance where the combined overall severity under the Secretary's interpretation would result in the next higher evaluation. His interpretation essentially reads out that third sentence of 4.96A. And Your Honor, Chief Judge Davis, you mentioned that the M21 was recently updated in July of 2016. The Secretary's website has prior versions of the M21, and in those prior versions, there wasn't this framework for the board to apply 4.96A. And
that was the point I was making.
Yes, Your Honor. Right. And in the most recent M21, the two examples that the Secretary provides for how the rating adjudicators are supposed to apply 4.96A, both of those result in no evaluation. And so it's our position that it's virtually impossible under the Secretary's interpretation to have a veteran actually get the next higher evaluation.
Well, then, counsel, aren't you really challenging the rating schedule?
No, Your Honor.
No.
No, Your Honor. We're simply arguing.
What can we do?
Well, Your Honor, first, this court should afford the veteran, the secretary's interpretation no deference. And second, the court should hold that the plain language of 4.96A requires the board to consider the severity of the veteran's overall respiratory condition, respiratory disability. And appellant did not, as the secretary mentioned, concede that the appellant must satisfy all of the criteria under Diagnostic Code 6602. While we concede that a rating must be assigned under 6602, that's where our readings of the regulation differ. We have a broader interpretation that's more favorable to the veteran, that the board must look at the overall severity of the veteran's disability, look at the manifestations of both respiratory conditions, and determine whether or not that overall disability more nearly approximates the next higher evaluation under the predominant disability.
Okay. Just one question, counsel. Do you know offhand, and I don't blame you if you don't know, but I was just going to look myself, if the veteran were evaluated separately here and received a 50% under 6847 for sleep apnea for sleep apnea and a 60%, what would the combined evaluation be?
Yes, Your Honor, the combined evaluation would be 80%.
Okay.
So if 4.96A were amended to strike the language that says will not be combined and say may be combined, would that solve your problem?
No, Your Honor, because at the time of the board decision, the previous regulation was the one that the board should have applied. And under the plain language as of the regulation today, it says that the next higher evaluation is 100%. If the secretary in the future provided separate ratings for other veterans, that would be a different story. But in this case, the board needed to apply the regulation as it stood on the day that the board made its decision.
Okay. Anything else you have to add, counsel?
As to the extra scheduler consideration, Your Honor, the secretary provides a lot of analysis that's not in the current board decision. The board only stated the law and had two short sentences. It did not provide any analysis that the secretary provided today. And so we would ask for the court to hold that Section 4.96A is plain and the plain language requires the board to consider the overall disability, and for the board to remand the board's decision as to extra scheduler consideration as well.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case is submitted for consideration. The court will now come down and greet counsel.
All rise.
Where's the reset? No.